Okay, today's daf is daf Chav Zayin. Let's start last line on Chav Vav Mabeis. We're in the sugya of Muksa Lachati Shabbos, which we said meant that if something is Muksa when Shabbos or Yantav starts, then it must remain Muksa. Muksa can never disappear if it was Muksa at Bein HaShemashos, because of the principle of Migudis Katsoyla Bein HaShemashos is Katsoyla Kol Yomeh. Once it's Muksa, it's always Muksa. The question that the Gemara asks is, what happens if something is not Muksa when Shabbos or Yantav starts, and then for some reason on Shabbos and Yantav it becomes Muksa, and then the reason for its becoming Muksa disappears again, and now it's not Muksa anymore. Do we say that once it becomes Muksa, it remains Muksa now, just like the critical moment of Bein HaShemashos, so to any time it becomes Muksa, that's Yesh Muksa Lachatzi Shabbos? Or do we say that no, because it wasn't Muksa at the critical moment of Bein HaShemashos, so you're right, when it has the reason to be Muksa on it, it's Muksa, but once that reason disappears, then it wouldn't be Muksa anymore. So the Gemara already tried to bring two rayas to this principle. Number one, the Gemara tried to bring the raya of the case that we spoke about yesterday, where you have a Bechor that's born on Yontif with its Mum. So the Gemara suggested to say that that is not Muksa when Yantav Shabbos starts, because it's Muchanagavimo. You could have shechted the mother, and the child, the baby doesn't have Kedusha until it comes out, and then it's born, which is Asur, and then it's matred by the Chacham. So the Gemara said, no, that's not a riot, because the Chacham are sitting there, and there's never a time for the baby to have a Chezkas Isra, a Chezkas Tam. That was number one, so we rejected that raya. Number two try was the case that we had in Masecha Shabbos, and that is, you're eating the grapes, and you put the raisins, and you have fruit that's rowy when Shabbos Yontif starts, and then there's a certain moment of time that it becomes putrid, it dries out, and it's not edible, and then later on, after it's totally dried out, then it's going to be edible again. So again, the Gemara tried to bring from that case, and the Gemara ended up saying, no, there's no, that's not a raya either, because the Gemara there says you have to designate from before Yontif. And the Gemara says, Mimanafshach, why should you have to designate? Either you don't have to designate, or designation is not going to work. So the Gemara ended up saying that that's a case where it's only roi to eat aideya tzchak, and that's why you need the designation. But again, there's no raya to the sugya of muksa lachati Shabbos or not. So now we get to try number three. Try number three on the last line. Tashma, Chavav Mabeis, Tashma, Bapulin Vadashim. So we're going to try to prove it from beans and lentils. What do you mean beans and lentils? Beans and lentils that we all cook on Shabbos and Yontif. Bapulin Vadashim, Meikara Chazulakos, because what happens? On Shabbos and Yontif, we could all, beans and lentils, when Yontif starts, they're able to be eaten raw, Chazulakos, Meikara Chazulakos, Shadinu Bekedera, and then on Yontif, when we throw them into a pot, so right when they start getting cooked, they become nitche, they're not roi, so they become quote-unquote muksa. Gomar bishulayu, once the cooking finishes, chazilahu, then they're roi again. So, says the Gemara, lots of cooked items. They're raw, and they're able to be in raw, and they're not able to be eaten a little bit cooked, and they're able to be eaten fully cooked. So isn't that a raya? This is a very unusual tashma, right? Tashma from the Metzius of life. Usually Tashma is a Brisa or a Tosefta or a Mishnah. But here, Tashma from the Metzius of life. Look, we do this with beans and lentils. It's fit, it's not fit, it's fit. So doesn't that prove Ein Muksa? So Amalei Abaya, Abaya says, no. Ula Taimeich, Tikshi Lecha Kederis Da'almo. Abaya says, what are you bringing me rayas from specific types of food? What do you mean all of our pots? When Shabbos starts, all of our food is piping hot. It's on the fire. It's boiling. It's impossible to eat it right at that second. If you want to say there's a moment in time that you're unable to eat it, so you should say all our food is muksa b'bein hashmashos. Forget muksa l'chati Shabbos, but all the food is boiling when Shabbos starts, and therefore there's a reason we can't eat it. Udl urta, and then when it cools down that night, we would eat it. So ein lo davar sof, you'd say you'll never be able to eat any food on Shabbos and Yontif. So obviously that can't be. So the Gemara refines the question a little bit. Ella gomru b'dei adam lo kamim ba'ilan. Says the Gemara, we never had a kasha about gomro bidei adam. Literally, it's finished in the hands of man. What exactly does that mean? Let's just finish the line, then we'll explain it. Ki kami boilon gomro bidei shamayim. Our only question is about if it's nigmar bidei shamayim. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains that it means is it in your ability to stop the muksa right now? Is it in your ability to make it not muksa right now? That's the only question of muksa l'chati Shabbos or not, is where you don't have the ability. If you have something that is out of your hands, You have to wait for the sun to dry it off. You have to wait for something else to happen. So that's the shiloh. We don't know about Muksa L'Chati Shabbos. But if something is in your hands to be Mesakein, meaning you could take the pot off the fire at any moment, you could take the lentils out beforehand. Meaning you don't have to leave it in its state of dichui. So that was never a question in the Gemara. That's what Rashi says. Kivin de biyado letzaknu bo bayom lo maksa l'midayte mibrei t'chiyaso, because you have it in your power to stop the dichui at any moment. So you never put it out from your mind, and therefore that was never a question in the Gemara. That is Rashi. The Meiri here just quotes one other line, not just that it's in your hands to fix it, but it was in your hands that you made it muks in the first place. You did both. You were matchid and you can be misaking it. In all these cases, you put it on the fire and you put it up on the in the cooking place. Elakolsha dihuyo vitikuno al yidei adam. It's that the dihuy itself was done by you, and therefore when you're matchid, you have in mind that you can be misaking it at any moment. Vahadihuy nasa yidei das tikun. So mutter, there it's mutter, but afilo hayinitcha ben hashmashes. Even if it was nitcha ben hashmashes, if it's gomru bidei adam, it's not a problem. Holy bidei adam nitcha, vishen nitcha. Al-dashi yitzukan l'machar, therefore, it is not a problem. So, it's, again, there might not be a machlokes, but the Miri is emphasizing not only that the tikkun is bidei adam, like Rashi says, but even the original dichui is bidei adam as well. That was never a shayla in the Gemara. The only shayla in the Gemara was gomro bidei shamai. Okay, just something we mentioned yesterday from the Rush is actually in Tosfos here, on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosfos on top asks, what about the cases in Masechta Shabbos that we had, where you have the little chicks going on top of the bowls? Kofetes Salafnei HaEfrochim, the Gemara is there described how you're allowed to put an upside down bowl to allow chicks to go up and down and up and down. How can you do that? If there is an issue of Yesh Muksa L'Chati Shabbos, isn't the bowl going to become Muksa? So doesn't that prove Ein Muksa L'Chati Shabbos? So Tosfos' first answer is that no, because since you have the ability to shoo away the birds at any moment, so that's like Gomru Bidei Adam. That's like what the Gemara here says. It's in your control, therefore there's no Muksa. It's Gomru Bidei Adam, because you can shoo away the birds. Or number two, and this is what we mentioned yesterday, maybe the whole discussion in the Gemara is only by Muksa La'achila. But by Muksa La'tiltel, like the Rush said yesterday, Muksa La'tiltel is not a problem. There is no Shaila regarding death. That's what we mentioned yesterday from the Chazam Sofer. These are two categories of Muksa. Muksa La'achila and Muksa La'tiltel. One might be, Muksa La'achila might be a smach of a Doraisa. The Hechino as Asher Yaviyu, which has rooted in the Psukim, while Muksa La'tiltel is a pure Drabanan. This is what also the first Tosfos in the Masechta refer to. First Tosfos in the Masechta, when it quoted Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, one of the answers why it says, Toyachel and Losei Achel, all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, instead of Oser Namatir, Tosfos says, is to include all Muksa, even Muksa La'tiltel. That's already, you'll find in a number of places, this dichotomy, this chiluk of La'tiltel and La'achila. Okay, period. Continuing the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Havali Ahu Bukhra. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had a Bukhar animal. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, we know, was not a Kohen. So what was he doing with a Bukhar animal? And what was he was about to go and show this to a Kohen? So let's finish the story. Shadi Lekabed Rabbi Ami. See, he's sending it in front of Rabbi Ami to check about the mum, if it was a mum kavua or not. So let's finish the story, and then we'll go see why he had this. Savar de la michzi. So Rabbi Ami didn't want to see it. He didn't want to see it on Yantif. Amalei Rabbi Zvika v'tamer Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon alach Rabbi Yehuda. So he says to him, why don't you want to see it on Yantif? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon alach like Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say yesterday in the Mishnah? That you're allowed to be row and movement on Yantif. So what's the big deal? It's not a tikkun. It's not a problem. So Rav Ami seemed to not be impressed by that statement of the halachas Rabbi Yehuda, and he knew he wasn't rowing the mum. So therefore, he sends it to somebody else to check. Rabbi Yisrael Gnafka, Savar Dlo Lemichzi. So again, he felt that, no, I don't want to see it. Again, he says, what's the problem? The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. So what's the problem? Let's stop the story for a moment to go to Rashi. Rashi says, why did he have a Bechar? What was he doing? This Havaleyahu Bechra. He was not, as I mentioned yesterday, a Yisrael is not allowed to partake of a Bechar. If it's a Bechar Tam, then it's a Karban of a Kohen. If it's a Bechar Balmum, then Kavua, then it's at least a Mono Shal Kohen. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wasn't a Kohen. So says Rashi, V'hayu lo bebeso Kohanim smuchin al shulchanu, V'ochlin Bechoros. He supported Kohanim. He supported Kohanim. He had Kohanim living with him. He had Kohanim that he supported, and therefore they ate Bechoros, and that's why he was doing it. The Pnei Yeshua just elaborates a little bit and says, So why didn't he get a check before Yantif? He knew the halacha that there was a controversy. Because Kadibay by Roy is more okay, but the pass like a Yehuda. But why did he take the time to do it before Yantif? Dafka on Yantif, he goes in and sends it to the Rav. So says the Pnei Yoshua. First of all, even though Me'ikir Adin once is a Balmum and it's Mamono Shal Kohen, there's no Isser for Yisrael to eat it, but still it's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. So why here did Rashi say this? Why did Rashi specifically give this case? It's because he wanted to come up with a case where he might not have known that there were any Kohanim around on Erev Yantif. So yes, he supports the Kohanim, but maybe they were away. Maybe he didn't know that he was going to have Kohanim there, so therefore he didn't show it to anybody before Yantif. Because what was going to happen? If he was going to show it to a Kohen, he was going to show it to a Mumche, and then the Mumche would decide that it has a Mumkavua, then he has to shecht it right there. He can't leave it around, because then there's a Pshash Takala. Because what's going to happen? Somebody might shecht it, they might shear it, they might work it. So therefore he would have to shecht it right away, but then if there are no Kohanim here, so they didn't want to do that. So he says that's why he waited Dafka to... On Yantif, he wasn't gonna show it to anybody. But then on Yantif, boom, his supportees come, and that's why he had to show it on Yantif. And he thinks, says the Pnei Yoshua, that maybe in this case it's mutter lachadchila according to everybody, because it wasn't that he waited to do this on purpose. That's what he ends off. Kivish biyantif is damin lakonim. That's why he sends it to Rabbi Yami l'fisha yisavrish and mutter loros mumin bekiya gavna. That's why he sends it to him, and he waited dafka for this day. Okay, so that's why he had it there. So he has these kohanim that he's supporting, and he's trying to get this bechor ready for them to eat. So continuing the story, so these two other rabbis didn't want to look at it. So Amar Leh, second to last skinny line. Amar Leh Rabbi Abba, my time alo shav katinu l'rabban l'mevin uvdek Reb Shimon. Why didn't? Saying to Rabbi Zrika, why are you complaining that they should have done them, they should have looked at the mum? Why don't you let them do like Reb Shimon? Well, you have the Mesorah like Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe this like Reb Shimon in this case. So Amar Leh, Vatma Biyotcha, says back to him, oh, well, you have a Mesorah about this, that you're not supposed to go like Reb Shimon. Amar Leh, Hachi Amar Reb Zera, like Reb Shimon. Yeah, he says, yeah, I have a Mesorah. I have a Mesorah from Rabbi Zera, that the Halacha is like Reb Shimon. I have that Mesorah. Amar Mandahu. So who's Mandahu? Mishahu, somebody. So Mandahu, somebody said, who is there at the moment, who hears this conversation, that Reb Zera says the Halacha is like Reb Shimon. Ezki ve'esak lahasam, va'agmar l'shmaitzam ipumei demara. Ezki v'iski is like a hero song. Let me be zochet to go to Eretz Yisrael, to go to Hasam there, to go hear it from the mouth of the one who said it. Right? Let me pumei demara from the mouth of Reb Zera. Reb Zera, we know, went to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara then the Ksubis describes how some of his rebbeim didn't want him to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he secretly went and he made it to Eretz Yisrael. That's why he's Rebbe Zera. He got smicha there. That's why he became Rebbe Zera. So says this mandahu. You know, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael to hear from Reb Zera that he has this mesorah that the halacha is like Reb Shimon that you should not see mumen on Yantif. So kisalak lahasam. So Reb Zera, so this is Manda who got there, and he went there. Ashachel Reb Zera, so he found Reb Zera. Armalei, Amar Mar, Halacha Reb Shimon. So he says, Reb Zera, so you have a Mesorah from your Rebbe's that the Halacha is like Reb Shimon? Armalei, lo. No, I don't have such a Mesorah. I never heard it from my Rebbe's, but no, Mistavra Amri. But I'm saying it based on logic. I'm not saying it based on a Mesorah that I have, but based on logic. Midiktani b'masisim, because after all, we had in yesterday's Mishnah, what was the language of the Reb Shimon in the Mishnah? Reb Shimon Omer, kol she'ein mumo nikar mibod yom, ein zeh menemuchan. That was the language of the Mishnah. The Reb Shimon says, if the mum is not nikar mibod yom, meaning it wasn't matired, not just it wasn't there, but it wasn't matired mibod yom, that it's not called muchan. Viktani la bebraisa, and yesterday we had a braisa on Amud Beis, on Chavam Amud Beis, in the context of the mum being, the b'char being born, and the mum with it. So there we quoted the same exact lashon of the Mishnah in a braisa, but instead of having it b'shem Reb Shimon, we had it b'shem the Chachamim, but lashon Chachamim. So the fact that we quote Reb Shimon Shita b'shem the Chachamim shmamino mistaver kavasei. So it must be that is what we hold. That's what we had yesterday in the Brisa. We had Beit Shanolam Mum B'Yantif or Be'er of Yantif Einzem and Muchan, and that was quoted as the Divrei Chachamim. So because we quote that as the Stama, so that is why that's how Reb Zera knew that the Halach is like Reb Shimon, but not because he had a Mesorah from his Rebbe's, but he figured it out from the language of the Brisa. How does that prove that you can't go to a mumcha? But again, as we said yesterday, especially according to Tosfos, but especially the Pashas of the Gemara, what's the root machlokas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda? Not muksa, because generally Reb Shimon is mekel, Reb Yehuda is machmir. Here it's the opposite. So the root of that machlokas, the muksa is just an application of the roan mumin machlokas. So once you paskin roan mumin, so muksa is just an application of that.
But I think that's the animal. I
What's the status? The animal, right, there has to be a case where the mum was there before Yontif, or else Rav Shimon wouldn't be able to talk to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda would also agree that it's Asur. So it must be that it was there before Yontif. Maybe it was a mum over before Yontif, and it's turning into a mum kavua, so he wasn't Maksa Daito. But either way, you're right, there has to be talking about a case where there was some type of mum there before Yontif.
No, just a general question.
Here we pass like, so it's not a general rule. Sometimes we pass like Reb Shimon. So it's not that you have to know which case. Here we have a Mesorah, right. Here's
a Mesorah.
Right, it's not a Shas rule. It's a question, and we're going to see in a minute, maybe it's based on even another principle. So my Havi Allah. So Halacha L'maisa, what is the Halacha about this issue of seeing movement? So Amar of Yosef, Toshma, Detalya Bashli Ravervi. This Machlokes is totally on literally big ropes. Means there's a great rabbis, earlier rabbis that argue about this. To Omar, because we're going to quote another machlokas, and that machlokas we will see is the basis for our machlokas. That's the suggestion in the Gemara now. To Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omar, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Omar, Rabbi Yosef ben Shmuel, Ashaul, Omar, Rabbi, Shimon Kahal, Kadisha, the Yerushalayim. So all these people saying the name of each other. So again, maybe right, call it Omar, Dover, Shem, Omar, maybe Gulal Olam. How many lines of Shas just have lists of people who say in the name of other people? And sometimes we'll have different versions of it. But we see the serious way which the Gemara takes repeating statements of Halacha or Agada in the name of the correct person. And even if I heard it from my Rabbi, you heard it from his Rabbi. See, the Gemara here spends two lines on saying this list. So what, anyway, they say, the Kehilat Kaddishah of Yerushalayim say, Reb Shimon v'chaveirav amru halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Reb Shimon and his colleagues and his friends say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. We didn't have a Rabbi Meir yet. We're going to see Rabbi Meir in a few lines. But they say the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara first has a parenthetical statement that how could these great people be quoting Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon says the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Amru, v'ha'inu kishishi minei tuv, all of these great rabbis are much older than Reb Shimon. So they'd be quoting their younger, the young boy, and they say, oh, he says halachas like Rabbi Meir? They wouldn't be doing that. They wouldn't be quoting somebody who's the bachur in the yeshiva. They'd be quoting him. So the Gemara says, you're right, elo peshitas Rabbi Meir amruah. What they really meant to say is that he was younger, yes, but they weren't quoting him. They were just saying, they heard what he had to say, and they said, oh, you know what? He's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But it wasn't that they were quoting him. But he's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So which Rabbi Meir? What Rabbi Meir? So the following. The Tan, the Mishnah says, in Bechoros. We know that in the middle of Beseches Bechoros, there's the whole list of Mumin. Mumin for an Adam, for a Kohen, Bali Mumin, Mumin for animals. So there it gets into our issue about Mumin for animals. And the Mishnah says as follows. Hashokhan Zabachar Be'achach Heres Mumo. I think we mentioned this yesterday, Derech Agav. And that is, what happens if somebody shechs the animal, Bechor, before he gets the Chacham to check it? He shechs it. He didn't show it to the Chacham, and he got it checked anyway. And then afterwards, the Kohen looks at it and says, you know, Taka, it has a Mum Kavua. It has a Mum Kavua. So therefore, B'diavad, you know, if you would have asked me an hour ago, I would have told you you're allowed to shecht it. So there, is this okay? If you waited, you shechted it first, and then you checked? So Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you're right. It wasn't the best thing to do. You took your chances. But Rabbi Yehuda says, it's mutter to have done it. Again, if it wouldn't have had a Mum Kavua, then you would have violated Shechitas Kachin Bachutz. Right, because it's kachin. So fine. So, but the evidence we say it has a mum kavua, so you didn't violate shkutz kachin b'chutz. But could you eat the animal? Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's okay, but the evidence. Rabbi Meir Omer, hol v'nishchat shaho api mumche osir. Rabbi Meir says, no way, because you shechted it. Since you shechted it not on the basis of a psak of a mumche, osir, so the animal is osir. So, alma. So the Gemara says, what's the basis for Rabbi Meir shita? So what do we think at first? Why does Rabbi Meir say that if you didn't get it matzed beforehand, it's osir? Alma kasava Rabbi Meir, re'ias bachar lav kariyas trefa. It must be that Rabbi Meir holds that there's a big difference, this relates to the Taz we mentioned yesterday, there's a big difference between seeing a bechor if it has a mum, and seeing a trefa. Meaning, we know like there are certain trefas in an animal, in the lungs, or in other parts of the animal. So it must be, says the Gemara, that those are two different types of psak. When it comes to a trefa, it's more of just figuring out the reality, figuring out is there a trefa, and therefore we'll be flexible. You can figure it out afterwards, you can figure it out before, that's by trefa. But re'ias bechor, it must be according to Rabbi Meir, is a psak that has a that changes the status. And that's why he requires it to do it before the shechita. And if you did the shechita before the Riyas Mum, so what? That the Kohen sees afterwards that it's a Mum Kavua. Because you didn't get the psak to matu the animal beforehand, so that's an important lack, and therefore you won't be able to eat the animal. So the Gemara is assuming that what is Rabbi Meir's shita? The psak of Heter Bechoros is a significant psak. And if you don't have it, before you shech, the animal is going to be usser. So that's going to be the application as well, that just like it's an important and significant psak regarding you need it before the shechita, so too it's a significant psak that you can't do on Yontif. That's going to be the connection between the two machlokos. Just like Rabbi Meir says that you can't have the psak afterwards, so too, because it's a significant psak, so too, you can't have it on Yontif. So the Gemara now elaborates. So Rabbi Meir holds Riyas Bechor Lavka Riyas Trefa. Riyas Bechor Mechayim. A Riyas Bechor has to be before the animals, while the animal's still alive. If you shechted it first, it's too late. Riyas Trefa Lachar Shechita. And Riyas Trefa can be after Shechita, right? What do we do? We shech the animal, then we check the animal for trefus. You might say, hey, how can you check the animal before you shecht it? Okay, maybe you could find a hechi timsi, that you could figure out how to check the animal before it shechted. But either way, lamaisa, that's allowed, and therefore the Gemara says, umina, and from this machlokes, let's go to the other machlokes. Re'ias trefa afilu biyantif. Re'ias bachar me'erav yantif. Right from here, we will say, just like Rabbi Meir says it's significant regarding you have to do it before shechita, so too it's significant that you can't do it on yantif. And therefore, if we have the mesorah, the halalach is like Rabbi Meir regarding if you shechted it before you showed it to the mumcha, it's going to be usher to eat. So too, let's bring that over to us, that we will say you're not allowed to be roa the mumin, show it to the mumcha on yantif, because it's a significant psak, it changes the status of the animal, and therefore it's going to be usher. That is the suggestion of the Gemara now, that the fact that we have the halacha Kirby Meir by the other Mishnah has significance in our Mishnah as well. Okay? If there was a mumcha vua beforehand, but it doesn't matter if you have to get a psak from the mumcha. If you have a temporary mum beforehand, it's as if, but if it's not a mum kavua, then still you have to show it to the mumcha. And if you didn't, it's just like it wasn't shown. And once a mum over is nothing. Mum over doesn't change the status. But as a mum over, it's only temporary, and you know, it's just that you just have to wait and see. Maybe it's going to turn into a mum kavua. Maybe regarding Hilchos Muksa, it's going to make a difference. Because you're expecting maybe for it to get worse. But regarding Hilchos Re'ias Bechar, it hasn't changed the status yet. That's why Rashi is Nirek Misakein, right? Rashi Nirek, because here this is a different type of psak. This is similar to what the Karban Asano we quoted said yesterday, that don't compare this to a regular case of psak. Here you're changing the status from the carbon of a Kohen to Mamono Shel Kohen. You're changing it. It used to be a carbon and now it's not a carbon. So says the Gemara, so that's the first possibility that we know from Rabbi Halacha Rabbi Meir to apply it here too. Okay, changing or confirming. No, you might say you're not changing. You are establishing. How about that word? Establishing the status. It's a carbon until proven otherwise. So until this, it's proven otherwise. You're not just figure. It's not just a birur, right? It's a labeling. This animal assumes the Gemara, and that's why it's an important psak. Oh, so says the Pnei Yeshua, my next line. So Aaron says, the Pnei Yeshua just adds a little bit for Rashi. Rashi just says here, it's chashivus. Right, Rashi, if you on the bottom when he quotes this, Rias Bechor is Lavka Rias Trefa, it's because it's a chashiv act. So the Pnei Yeshua, actually I wasn't going to mention it, but now that you did, I'll mention it. Pnei Yeshua adds, it's not just that chashivus or not, but it's a change of chazakos. When it comes to a Bechor, there's a cheskas carbon, and now you're changing the chazaka to a cheskas mum, and that's why it's just significant. But in the other case, once an animal is shachut, we had a couple days ago the dinner of Rav Huna, it's a cheskas heter. Once an animal is shachut, you assume mutter and then prove it otherwise. While an animal is alive, it has a cheskas isker. Either a cheskas isker, even a chai, that's what Rashi said, or a cheskas in a zavucha. That was the machlokas we had earlier in Daf Chafei. But once it's shachut, it has a cheskas heter. So maybe that's what's going on here. Is the psak changing the chazaka? But either way, we assume that it's a significant psak, and therefore, just like it must be done before shechita, so too it cannot be done on yantiv. So the Gemara says back, Amalei Abaya, Atu Hazabro Mumen Pligi? Abaya says, no, you got it all wrong. That's not what the machlokas is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. If you shecht before you show it to the mumcha, whether you're allowed to eat the meat or not, that issue is not about a Re'ias Mum issue on a fundamental level. You know what it is? It's a knas issue. You were supposed to show it to the kohen beforehand. You didn't? So it's not that there was such a significant psak that didn't take place beforehand. It's just that you took your chances. Chachamim don't want you to take the chances. Show it beforehand that if you didn't, you know, we're going to be konis you. We're going to fine you. But it's not that it's a fundamental psak. B'knas l'pligi. They're just arguing about knas. The Amarav Barbachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Because after all, look at this. The Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan discusses that machlokas and says bidokin sheba ayin kuliam l'pligi da aser mishud debishtanin. Says Rabbi Yochanan. Even Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, was it Rabbi Yehuda? Yes, even Rabbi Yehuda, who usually allows you to check out the mum after Shechita, b'di'aved, would not allow you to do that by Dokin Sheba Ayin. It's a type of eye ailment which changes, which might have been a mum over, but after the animal dies, looks like a mum kavua. So there, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, because obviously, you're checking it afterwards, it's not going to help. Maybe it looks like a permanent mum now, and it was only a temporary earlier. So no, everybody agrees, says Rabbi Yochanan in that case, that it would be aser. The only machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is by mumin, physical mumin, that would not have changed. Rabbi Meir savar gazrina mumin shebaguf, atu mumin shebaayin. Rabbi Yehuda savar lo gazrinan. And the machlokas is whether your gozer, real mumin that wouldn't change, atu mumin that do change. But what do you see? You see the issue is tier one of fundamental psak. The issue is whether you're choshesh, whether something changed or not. And even if you're not choshesh, you might be gozer or to the other case. But you see, you can't bring any rayas from Rabbi Meir to our case, because it's not about Rabbi Meir has a fundamental psak there, which would be asered on Yantif. And Amar of Nachman, Rabbi Yisrael adds, Matzis Anami Deka. Even the language of that Mishnah that we quoted points in the direction that it's a knas, and that it's not just a fundamental issue that you have to have the psak beforehand. Diktani, Rabbi Meir Omer, because what's the language of Rabbi Meir? Hoel v'nishchat shalo api mumche aser. Since it was shechta shalo api mumche, Rashi explains, why didn't it just say Rabbi Meir Oser? Why did he say hoel v'nishchat? It sounds like, since you did this wrong, therefore we're going to punish you. So the hoel sounds like it's a knas issue. Rashi even adds, other Rishonim might not agree, let's say you did it. Says Rashi that Rabbi Meir would agree that somebody else is allowed to eat it. Just that you're not allowed to eat it because we're konis you. But so you brought it to the chacham. So somebody else is allowed to eat it, but just you're not allowed to eat it. So it's a real din of knas. So shma mina, knasi yita kakonis, shma mina. So don't bring me any rayas from the fact that the halachic Rabbi Meir in that case, don't bring me any rayas to our case of yant. If it's still up in the air in our case. Viter. Three lines from the bottom. Ami Vardino Chazi Buchra de Benesia Havi. Ami Vardino was the mumsir of the house of the Nasi, the Benesia. As we said, you have to be a mumcha. We mentioned that there were Tanaim that went for months and months to study to get the smicha. Nowadays, we don't have such a smicha. We have Yadin Yah, we have Yaradeya, we have Choshe Mishpah, we have all types of smichas. But we don't have Yatav Choros today. Here you buy a base of Migdash, you know, Mashiach will come, we'll have to study for I'm studying for smicha on a farm. Right? You go for Yatav Choros. Why are mumin for Bechor is different for other karbanos? So again, but this is something by other karbanos. You check in the Beis Hamikdash. Here, there's a big difference in that you have it at home. So you need the rabbanim, you know, in the different communities. Because if it's, you know, if it has a real mum kavu, you don't have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. Fine, there were people that were kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash that were in charge of checking whether it has a mum or not. But this was even outside the Beis Hamikdash. So he was the Abi Vardino was the checker. So on Yantif he held like Reb Shimon that he wouldn't look at them on Yantif. Also Amalei Rabbi Ami Amalu Shaper Ka'avid to Lo Chazi. So they came in front of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami told him, "You're right, good." Like Rabbi Ami in the story earlier. So he said, "That's good. You don't check on Yantif." Any is this really true? Rabbi Ami Gufe Chazi. We know that Rav Ami did check Mumin on Yantif, so therefore, why did he say that it was a good thing not to? So where's it? No, we didn't really understand the story. We were missing a fact. Rabbi Ami ke chazi me'esval havi chazi. Really, Rabbi Ami looked at the Mumin before Yantif. Ubi Yantif shiyule kamishayel hechi avi uvda. Really, he looked at the animal before Yantif, but he didn't give the psak until on Yantif. And Rashi explains, because sometimes Erev Yantif is a very busy time. So you could bring the animal to the Kohen, and to the Mumcha, and the Mumcha could check it out, look at it, but you know, he has a lot of questions to ask you, and to talk to you about how the Mum got there, and this and that. So he'll look at the Mum beforehand. So if he doesn't give the Psak, that's all he did. So that's what's allowed. The Re'ias Mum happened beforehand, is just that he didn't give the Psak, he didn't say anything to the owner, until afterwards. What kind of questions had to be asked? Why couldn't he just say, Mum Kavua, Mum Over? What kind of questions had to be asked? So the Gemara explains, Ki ha dahu gabra da icy bukhor lakami de rava apani de mali shat mali yomatava. So one time there was somebody who brought a bukhor to Rava on Erev Yontif afternoon. Have a yasiv Rava v'kachayev reishe. Rava was washing his hair. I guess like the Hillel story in Masechta Shabbos. Right? He was in the middle. He was busy. So dali ene v'chazi lemume. But I guess Rava picked up his eyes. He saw the animal. He said, okay. He says, okay, come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But he saw it beforehand. When he comes tomorrow, Amar Hechi Havi Uvda. So Rava asks him, how did this mum get there? That's what has to be figured out. Why? Because we know that if this mum, we know the Kohanim, the Mishnayis right in Bechoros, Kohanim were chashud in implanting mumin on their animals. Right, because why? A Kohen says, I would rather have this animal in my house. I don't want to schlep this animal to the base of Mikdash. So if there's a mum kavua here, so then, you know, I could eat it. It's my money. I could eat it wherever I want. So Kohanim were chashud, if a Kohen comes to a mumcha and says, hey, look, can you check out my mum? So the chacham has to figure out whether the Kohen himself was matil this mum b'kachim. So that's what has to be figured out. So before Yantav, as long as the mum is seen, that's fine. And on Yantav, he just says, how did it happen? Amarlei, so this man answers Rava, Havishadi and Sari Bahak Gisa, Duhutsa. There's a bunch of barley on one side of a thorn fence, Vahavi Iu B'idak Gisa, and the animal was on the other side of the fence. Bahadi Dabay Lamechal, so my animal stuck his head through the fence to try to get the food. So on his way in or on his way out, he cut his lip on the thorns, and that's what happened. Ayve, what could I do? Right, so therefore, you see it was an accident, and therefore, if it's a mum kavua, you should allow me to take part in this animal. The Rishash said, just as Mora here, he said, why do you trust him? So he says that. It must be that we're missing part of the story, says the Rishash. It must be that he brought Edom or something afterwards, because like this is, he said, yeah, this is what happened. Why do you have Edachanim and Bisurin? But here there's a chashud. So Rishash just says it must be that we're missing part of the story. That it must be that he brought Edom or something to the effect.
How the same people that we allowed to do this in the Rabbanon in the base of Mikdash?
Unbelievable. Kohanim Zrizim Haim, and they're saying chashud here. So you might say, okay, it's a good question. Good question. How can you say Kohanim Zrizim Haim and yet they'll be chashud here? So, what? So Kohanim Zrizim Haim might be in the base of Mikdash. Is a Kohen Zoraz outside the base of Mikdash? In the base of Mikdash, where the Torah writes it by Meiser Sheni, that you go to the base of Mikdash and we're awestruck by the Kedusha. We see the Kohanim, right? Kohanim doing the Avoda and the Levim Beduchanim. So they're Kohanim Zrizim Haim. But Kohanim are people. Right? Kohanim are people. So, you know, and if there's a specific bias, they have to have a higher standard. They have to make sure that they're, you know, it's the taiva of Mammon is very strong. You can learn the Musar. Yeah.
We did have a case a few weeks ago where we say
Kohanim's reason
name outside.
Right. So sometimes we have Kohanim's reason outside the base of Mikdash.
Okay,
another factor, right? So either you say it's a din of the base of Mikdash, even if it's not a din of the base of Mikdash, you might say if there's another factor weighing down, you have these, you know, instead of having to schlep the animal to Yerushalayim, I could eat it here, so then that would be different. So anyway, so he tells Rava that this was caused by accident. So Amar Le Dilma Atka Ramtale. So Rava says, no, maybe you caused it. Maybe you stuck the animal's head in. Maybe you, Dafka, put it there. Amar Le, whoa, no, not me. Not me. So again, the Rishon says, yeah, so it must be that we're missing part of the story. Continues the Gemara, and these few lines are important. Uminat Timur, what did he ask him? Maybe you caused it. Maybe you caused it. So says the Gemara, Uminat Timur de Garama Aser. What do you mean, if he caused it, so why would it be a problem if it was only Grama? We know in many areas of Halacha, Grama, indirect, is not the same as an act. By Hilchas Shabbos, Grama is only Asa Midrabanan, if I do something indirectly. By Hezek, Grama Benizakin, if I cause indirectly damage to my friend, that's Grama. That's different than we said Garmi. Garmi is more direct. If I rip up a check of my friend's, that's called Garmi. That's more than Grama. But indirect, so that's never Maisa. So all of a sudden, what do you ask him? Did you cause a Grama? So, Ditanya, how do you know Grama is Asur? Says the Gemara, Ditanya, you know, here is different. By the Isser of Matul Mum Bekachim, even grama is usher to oraisa. Mum, because the pasuk says mum lo yebo. Ainly el shelo yebo mum. I only know that you're not allowed to actually put a mum. Minayin shelo yigrom lo ay dedavar acher. How do I know that included in this isser is to indirectly cause a mum to occur? How shelo yavo batzek o develo v'yaniach lo agabi ha'ozen. What am I going to do? I want my animal to get a mum. My little Shepsalah. So I'm going to put some dough behind his ear and put some other animals in the pen with him. So I know the other animals are going to go try to take a nibble, and hopefully they'll nibble his ear a little bit too. And what did I do? I just put some dough there. But that's indirectly causing a mum. How do I know that's usur? Kadesh Yabal Kalav Yitzlano. Tamal Omar Kol Mum Omar Mum Va Omar Kol Mum. It not only says mum, but it says Kol Mum to include even in this case. I've heard from Rav Schechter a number of times that he said that it's interesting that in most times, like I mentioned before, Shabbos and Nezek and other areas of Halacha, Grama is on a different level. Grama is indirect, and therefore Grama is not also Daraisa, Grama is not Chayiv ben Izakin. But by certain Averos in the Torah, by certain Isurim, the Avera is results-oriented. It's not Maisa-oriented. The Totsah is the real problem of the Isur. And if that's true, then even Grama is going to be Asur Daraisa. Even though usually grum is a step down, but if the isser is the result of having a mum on your animal, doesn't matter how it got there. So, and it not only was grumma, there's another nafkamina. Two nafkaminas by if it's a result-oriented isser and a maisa-oriented isser. Number one is grumma. Number two, amir la'akum. Amir la'akum is usually drabanan. Hilchah Shabbos is only drabanan. The Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses amir la'akum when it comes to sirus. When it comes to removing the reproductive organs of a person. So in the Gemara, see, there it talks all about grama, amir la'akum, and there it seems like it could be even asa daraisa, amir la'akum. Asa daraisa, amir la'akum, you didn't do it. The answer is, if you have a result-oriented isser, it's not that the Torah is interested in the act, but the Torah is interested in the results shouldn't be here, that it doesn't matter if you do it directly, or if you do it indirectly, or if you're going to go to do it. It doesn't matter if it's a result-oriented isser, so then even grama and amir lakam can be asa daraisa. This is the main example, right here. Matul mum b'kachim. Matul mum b'kachim, the Gemara says, it's asa daraisa even I did grama, because this is a result-oriented isser. We have this months ago, I mentioned this last, from Rabbi Yosef Engel when it comes to mitzvos. Rabbi Yosef Engel says that by mitzvos, you have the chilek between result-oriented mitzvahs and action-oriented mitzvahs. He says, and big nafkamina is, do you get credit for it if you get bit ne'anas? Let's say I'm on my way to visit somebody in the hospital, biker cholim, my car breaks down, so I never get there. So do we say that, Hashem says it as if you did it? Do you use kilu asa? You don't say that by biker cholim, why not? Or by most beit adam l'chavero. Because most beit adam l'chavero mitzvahs are result-oriented. If you didn't visit the guy, we feel bad, you're ones. But you're not going to get credit for the mitzvah. How can you get credit for the mitzvah? Right, Hashavas Aveda. You meant to return it, but you tripped and it fell into the sewer. So you're going to get credit for Hashavas Aveda? You can't get credit, that's a result-oriented mitzvah. Aye, but what about if I don't have a chauffeur? I really wish I had a chauffeur. Let's say I have a chauffeur, I don't know how to blow. I try to blow, it doesn't come out well. Or tefillin, or any other more, his focus is bin adam la makom. So by those, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, as if you did it, they'll give you credit. Ones is kilu asa. So he has that in Lekach Tov, in Asim Daraisa, he has that by mitzvahs. So Rav Schechter says, maybe it also applies by Averos. And the two nafkaminas are, Grama and Amir La'akim will also be Asur Daraisa. And you might even, or not even suggested, not for now, but maybe even within Malacha Shabbos, there might be a difference. Maybe even certain malachas of Shabbos might be result-oriented, and if a grumma would be asa daraisa by certain malachas Shabbos. But in general, malachas Shabbos are maisa-oriented, and therefore grumma would be drabana. Okay, but this is matum u'bekachim. There's also a machlokas between the Rambam versus Rashi and Tosfos whether matum u'bekachim is asa daraisa b'zman hazeh. We mentioned yesterday that nowadays farmers try to get out of it, because let's say if I'm a farmer, if I have a bechor is b'zman hazeh also. So what do? We have shutfits with a guy. We have shidduchim with the guy, if you have bialus of a guy, so that prevents the kedusha. But let's say I forgot. Let's say I didn't realize my animal was having a baby, and now I have a bechor in my house. So if I'm matul mum b'kachim today, is that also da'araisa or drabanan? So Rashi and Tosfos say it's only also drabanan. Because after all, we don't have a base of mikdash today. So what are you doing? You can't bring the carbon anyway. So therefore, it's only also drabanan. The Rambam says no. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurim is veach. It is da'araisa even b'zman hazeh, you just don't get malchus. Says the Rambam, ve'ena loka el b'zman shebeis ha'migdash kayyam, shahari haya roi l'karbon upaslo, because you ruined this karbon. Aval b'zman hazeh, aval pisha'ar belosaseh. Eino loka. Says the Rambam, it's also da'araisa even b'zman hazeh, to be matul mum b'kachim, to put a mum on the kachim, even on the grama, but you just don't get malchus because it's not on the most stringent level. Period. Okay, let's go right through in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Behema Shemesa Loizenimim Koma. Let's say you have an animal that dies on Yantif, you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to move it, it's Muksa. It's Loizenimim Koma, you cannot touch it. And also, Umaisa v'shalosh Rabbi Tarfon aleha, there was a story that they asked Rabbi Tarfon about such a case, and about the following case, v'yala chalosh in itmeis, let's say you have chala, real chala, not like what we call chala, real chala that you were hufrash to give to the Kohen, and it became tameh on Yontif. So chal tameh is just like truma tameh. A Kohen is not allowed to eat it, but he can burn it. He could burn it, and he could get hanoah from burning it. He could put it under his oven. So in that case, v'nechaz l'beis ha-medrash, they asked Rabbi Tarfon about this animal that died, or that the chala that became tami on yantif, v'shav amrlo lo yazizem imkomam. You can't touch it, you can't move it. You can't move that chala, and you can't move that animal. The question here that is dealt with in Rashi, and this is a Rashi that is spoken about by all the Achronim, famous Rashi here, or we're going to make it famous right now. Rashi says, chala tameya? Why can't you move chala tameya? We just said, chala tameya, your Kohen is not allowed to eat. But he has a mitzvah to burn it. The Kohen has a mitzvah that's called beer truma tameya, beer chala tameya. It's a mitzvah to oraisa for the Kohen to burn, to destroy his chala or truma tameya. And he's even allowed to get hanoah when he does it. So why is it muksa? Why can't he use it to cook with? He'll even cook and put it under his fire. Why can't he use it as firewood, as kindling? So says Rashi, last four lines of Rashi in the Mishnah, d'gzeris ha-kasafi she'in kashim tamein misbaran biyantif. Once the Torah says it's a mitzvah to do this destruction, then that destruction has chashivus. It has chashivus, and it cannot be done on Yontif. You're right, general burning something, Osar HaChol Nefesh is mutter. But this is Rashi quoting the principle called achshavei. Once the Torah says that the act that you're doing is special, is important, it's machshiv, the act that you're doing, the act of biur isn't just Ochel Nefesh, but the act of you're doing a mitzvah. Be your truma tameya, the Torah is machshav that what you're doing, and therefore it's so significant you can't do it on Yontif. The Rachmana achshvei lahavarason. The chsib be'esh tisarev hilkach malachahi. Therefore it is a malacha. That is the Shitas Rashi about achshvei. And therefore it says Rashi, you can't even destroy it by giving it to your dog. You can't destroy it at all, because any destruction of this is a mitzvah, and therefore, Rachmana achshvei lahavarasan. This is what Rashi says. So what the Achronim discuss is a steer between this Rashi and Rashi in Psachim Daf Hei. Because Rashi in Psachim there quotes that according to the Chachamim, who say that, remember Pesach for a minute, Machlokas Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim, how you have to destroy your chametz. Rebbe Yehuda says you have to burn it, the Chachamim say in any way, Hashpasasa b'chol davar. So Rashi there says, according to the Chachamim, that Hashpasasa b'chol davar, you're allowed to destroy it on Pesach, on Yontif itself. So ask the Achronim, the Pnei Yeshua here, there asks, what's the difference between destroying Truma Tameya, Chala Tameya, which is a mitzvah, and Rashi here says you're not allowed to do it on Yontif, versus Rashi in Psachim Dafei, who says that Chametz, destroying Chametz, Tashbisu, right, is also a mitzvah. What's the difference? So the Pnei Yeshua and the Rabbi Yehuda and all the Achronim say that there must be a difference between the mitzvah of destroying Chametz versus the mitzvah of destroying Truma Tameya. The mitzvah of destroying Truma or Chala Tameya is a Maisa HaMitzvah, destroy! Get rid of this! Destroy this! And that's why the Torah says you can't do it because it's significant. Masha Einkein, the Pnei Yeshua and the Noda Behuda both say, when it comes to Chametz, at least according to the Chachamim, who say, get rid of it in any way, the mitzvah is not to destroy it, but to have it out of your house. Like result-oriented. Mushbas min ha'olam. So if the ikar is to have it mushbas, then the act itself is not so significant. It's the result that's important. So therefore, you're allowed to do it on Yontif. Hashbasasa b'chol davar, so therefore, that's why Rashi says, according to the Chacham, that hashbasasa b'chol davar, therefore, you'd be able to do it on Yontif, mash enkein here. Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of Ein B'yachom Yisrael B'Sreifa, maybe that's not true. Because maybe the fact that he says you have to burn it, maybe he compares it to destroying Truma and Chala Tameya. But either way, that is Rashi here, Rashi in Beit Adav Chav Zayin. Rashi says, Achshavei. Rashi says, the act that you're doing as Chashiv is therefore Asar and Yontif. What's the difference between the Rashi and Psachim Daf Hei? The difference is whether you have a mitzvah to destroy or to have it destroyed and have it out of your house. Okay, so now we continue. So, Lema Tanan Stama Delo Kareb Shimin. So what did the Mishnah say? Let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah though. That's what the Gemara is going to talk about. An animal dies on Yontif, you can't move it. Says the Gemara, is this to say that our Mishnah is against Reb Shimin? Because, Titanya, Reb Shimin Omer, because we have... Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon holds that if an animal dies on Yontif, you're allowed to chop it up and feed it to your animals. Right? Nevela is mutar bahana. You're allowed to give it to your animals. Reb Yehuda omer, Mohais, Nevela, Meir of Shabbos, Asura. And Reb Yehuda says, no. Reb Yehuda says, Muksa. If it wasn't Nevela before Yontif started, and before Shabbos started, then it's Muksa. So question mark, is our Mishnah against Reb Shimon? Because our Mishnah says if an animal dies on Yontif or Shabbos, you cannot move it. And Reb Shimon says you're allowed to. You're allowed to chop it up. So Gemara says no, Afilo Tamer Reb Shimon. Even our Mishnah could be even according to Reb Shimon. Moda Reb Shimon, Vivali Chaim, Shemesu Sha'asurin. No, Reb Shimon agrees where you have a healthy animal, which you did not expect to die on Shabbos, that if it dies on Shabbos, that's muksa. That's when the Mishnah is talking about a healthy animal. When did Reb Shimon say you're allowed to chop it up? That's when it was like misukenis, like it was about to die, and you expected it to die. That's where he says it's not muksa. But Reb Shimon would agree in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is about a healthy animal. Says the Gemara, Hani klamar bara meimar mishay the Rava. This works well according to this Shita. This works well according to the opinion that says that Reb Shimon agrees in that case. That Reb Shimon is machalik between healthy and unhealthy animals. El lamar berei de Reb Yosef mishrei de Rava de Amar chalak hayer Reb Shimon afilu v'bal chaim shemesu shemutarin ma'ik el meimar. But there is an opinion out there that says Reb Shimon doesn't machalik. Reb Shimon does not distinguish between animals, and Reb Shimon says all animals that die on Shabbat and Yom Tov are not muksa. So according to that opinion, are we stuck? Do we have to say that our Mishnah is against Reb Shimon? So Gemara says, no, there's another way out. Tirgama Z'iri B'behemas Kachim. No, maybe our Mishnah is like about a case of Kachim animal, not just a regular animal. And if it's about Behemas Kachim, so therefore what are you going to do with a Behemas Kachim? You can't use it. So that's where Reb Shimon would agree that it is Muksa. Dekanami, and there's a proof to this, that our Mishnah is about a Behemas Kachim. Diktani Olehaval Chal Shenitbeis, because what's the other case in the Mishnah? About Chala. So says the Gemara, Machala de Kadisha, Apehema de Kadisha. Just like Chala has Kedusha, like Truma, Chala, all of Kedusha, so too Behemas Kedusha. So that's how you know that our Mishnah, Reb Shimon would agree to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is about a Behemas Kachim, and therefore he would agree that it's Muksa. So now the Gemara makes the opposite diyuk. El atayma de Kadisha. So are we saying that the only reason that it's usur in our Mishnah is because it is kadosh, it's a holy animal? Ha de chulin sharia. But if it would be a chulin animal, then it would be mutter. There wouldn't be a problem on muksa. So now we have the problem the other way. So ha nichal mar brei de Rav Yosef mishrei de Rav Adamar cholichay Reb Shimon apa balichaim shemesu shemutarin shapir. So this works well according to the opinion that Reb Shimon says there's no muksa even by healthy animals. So then our Mishnah is medayik that only kachim are muksa, but any chulin animals would not be muksa, even healthy animals. So then this works well. Elalamar bara meimar mishay the Rava de Amar moda hayir Reb Shimon v'alechaim shemesu shasurin Michael meimar. But according to the opinion that says that Reb Shimon would agree by healthy animals that they are muksa if they die on Yontif. So then how do you read the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, okay. So according to that opinion, hachamai eskinan b'misukenes v'devrei hakol. According to that opinion, you'll say the Mishnah is about an animal that's about to die. So either way, you could work out the Mishnah according to everybody if you wanted to, according to Reb Shimon. Okay, that's what you can do. Okay, we'll stop here. The next Mishnah and the following Mishnahs will talk all about different behaviors of Yontif, about doing certain types of sales on Yontif, weighing animals on Yontif. A lot of Zilzul Yontif issues come up in the next Mishnahs. Tomorrow, B'Hashem, we're back to a regular weekday schedule. Daf at 6:10 tomorrow morning.